Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. Friends, countrymen, fellow slaves of the plantation, hello and welcome to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's on American Freedom Radio. And I want to thank everybody who has donated to me ever before. And there have been lots and lots. Hundreds of people from all over the world, from all walks of life, that have donated to this show. And, spirit of Christmas, things being what it is, I want to thank everybody, you know, and count my blessings somewhat. It's going to be my birthday on the 29th of December as well. The worst time of the year to have a birthday, mind you. Why? Because all your friends are away on holiday. And anybody who isn't away on holiday is too wasted from Christmas or broke from Christmas and or saving up what little money they have left and what little revelry ability for New Year's, which is only a couple of days afterwards. So it's kind of like it's right in there, right in that exact moment. That would be the worst possible birthday for any kind of merrymaking. All right. This is what I've had to deal with my whole life. Like my 21st birthday. You know how when you have your 21st birthday, right, you want to do like a yard glass of beer or something. And you want to have a chair pulled up for you and you want people to tell stories about your life. I had to cook dinner for myself and I had my boss, a workmate, and a mate over. And we had dinner. I made lasagna. That was my 21st. Pretty rat shit. Right. I know. That's just sad. It's just sad. Anyway. The gratitude that I feel for everybody who's donated is just that. I guess it's just a signification that I'm doing a good job, man. You know, am I not delivering on what I say I'm delivering at? Am I telling half-truths or anything like that? Am I not recusing myself if I turn out to be wrong? I don't think so. I think I've pretty much, you know, kept an even keel here. All right? I think I've proven myself reliable. I go extraordinary lengths to help people, usually lengths and stretches and through the middle of the night to do, like, a documentary version of somebody doing a slideshow presentation in a night, which nobody else that I've ever heard of can do. They can't do it that fast. And I think that's because they've got all these really annoying PC programs. Just do it on iMovie. I mean, seriously, for frack's sake. Might be cheap and nasty, but it actually looks professional. And so quick and easy to use. And you'd never have to wait for any rendering time. Ever. Ever. My mate was telling me the other day, he's doing like a 10-minute video. Okay. And it would take like an hour to render. Okay. I'll do a 10-minute video. It'll take 5 minutes to publish the video. And then upload it. Okay. I mean, seriously, stop messing around with PCs if you're trying to do YouTube videos, bro. If you're trying to do documentaries or anything like that, and you're a truther, you don't got too much time on your hands, you're an activist or whatever, get a freaking Apple. I mean, it's not rocket science. You can't even play games on the damn things. What do you think you're going to wind up doing? You're going to wind up churning out work. You got all the audio editing and video editing programs you want. You got all this ability to do pictures and Skype calls and blah, 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 blah. All of these different plugins. It's like a media machine kind of thing. And what I'd really love to be able to do, eventually, once we grow the audience enough, and we can only do that with you, the listener, actually recommending people to come to the show, because I'm not spending any money on advertising. I can't afford it, you know. So you know, the more people that get brought in here, the more donations we get in. I want to be able to actually help an activist in such a way. Let's say I've got I don't know, a couple of boxes with brand new Macs in them that I can loan to particular activists at particular times when they need a machine like that. If they've got interviews that they want to record or what have you, I can teach somebody to do all of this stuff pretty easily. Right, maybe it just takes a little bit of repetition, but it's not complicated language and what have you. It's just simple point and click, drag and drop, blah, blah, blah. It's a process rather than a huge learning experience, you know. And it's reasonably logical. So, if I could inject what I know and the equipment that I use into the life of an activist, just give it to them, maybe on loan, maybe permanently, who knows, I haven't worked that part out yet, but this is just the idea in my head anyway, then all of a sudden we've got another, you know, Vinnie Eastwood level of producing capacity out there in the hands of an activist who actually knows how to do real research and isn't just some kind of a smooth-talking salesman for people who do real research, like myself. You know, see, there's a difference between me and an activist in that activists are very bashful people. They're very humble, whereas I'm not. And so naturally, I use the fact that I'm not bashful and not humble to promote them, because they don't self-promote. Whereas I believe that there's nothing shameful about shameless self-promotion. Especially if by promoting Vinnie Eastwood, I actually by proxy promoting all of these other different activists and what have you that we have on the show and interview and the videos and all of that kind of stuff. That's why I stay up into the middle of the night finishing off editing projects and things like that, because I told somebody, a very dear friend of mine, Catherine Smith from the New Zealand Journal of Natural Medicine, or whoever it might have been in that particular videos instance, that I would have it done at that particular date. It doesn't matter whether it's my Saturday, my Sunday, my work day, it doesn't matter. I make sure that it gets done. By hook or by crook, one way or the other, it does. And so these are a whole bunch of things that I want to get done. And basically, it's Christmas time. And Christmas time is very, very expensive. And I would love to be able to buy myself a Christmas present, like if what did I need? I needed got a new computer coming soon. Thank you for those people who donated, by the way, those $300 amount. They should turn up to be like $370 to ship a computer in. Right? No, actually, just to pay the tax on importing the computer. Right? That's how gouging the government is. Frick, I hate statism. Anyway, need a mixing board. Right? So you have multiple microphones. This way we'll have two computers, a multi-microphone setup, lighting, camera on a tripod, and a background LCD screen. That sounds like a pretty professional studio setup, don't you think? Could have guests in here. In fact, I have had guests in here, but the thing is we all kind of got to smoosh together. Because we've only got, like, the one microphone in the middle that we've got to share. Sure, it's got, like, multiple channels and whatnot, so it records it just fine, but it'd be nice if everybody had their own. And I've already got a backup microphone and, like, a headset with a mic on it as well, so she'll be right. And there's just so many things to do to become the media. So many pieces of equipment. But the equipment's only a tool. You know, like, let's say you're an artisan and you build somebody a spectacular house, like a well-architectured house or something. And then somebody comes along and says, that looks like crap. What kind of tools did you use? And you go, I use crappy, you know, tools from down the warehouse or something like that. It's like, mate, no, you got to use these particular tools. No. The house looks amazing, bro. Shut up, okay? We got it done with the tools that we had. Just shut up. Didn't matter about what we got it. Didn't matter what we did with it. All right? Come on. At least I produced something. And this is another thing that's really doesn't. I don't get it with people. They, you go to public meetings and protests. Okay, I know a lot of people who have done this, and I've seen them around there, and they all got their cameras out or their camera phones or whatever. Hardly any of it ever goes up on the internet, right? It just, if you're going to be doing that, that sort of short term, ha ha ha, whatever, I'm at a protest sort of thing, just upload it, you know, Creative Commons. So if there are worthy filmmakers out there who actually want to sift through all of this crap that people upload on YouTube and pull out certain chunks for their documentaries that they're making to illustrate points and whatnot, cool. You know, I would love a Creative Commons documentary community where people from all over the world, activists and whatnot, upload raw interviews, raw footage of protests and things of this nature, and documentary filmmakers and what have you use it more or less as an online video archive full of royalty-free interviews about really important information and stuff, so that people could make groundbreaking, monumental documentaries without having to pay a dime to actually go and film or ask any of the questions themselves. Just use, like, titles in the middle or do an overdub your voice over it. You've got all the raw footage. You don't need anything else. Really? Seems like high production value, don't you think? I think so. Because we've got this this problem. People are poncy about their technology. And maybe I am to a certain extent. As far as I'm concerned, it just needs to work. I looked at the PC option, didn't work. Mac option, worked right away, son. Like a dream. Now, you have this idea that one thing's better than the other, right? And there was this girl, I think this was a couple of years ago, when I filmed at dance parties on the side to make a little bit of extra cash. She asked me what kind of video programming do I use for my editing, right? And I go, iMovie. And she goes, oh my God, you don't know what you're talking about. And I go, excuse me, how many videos have you made? And she goes, oh, I guess I was part of the crew for two short film projects that didn't win any awards. Yep. Okay. I've made 600 videos. So with all due respect, you don't know what you're talking about. This is the approach people can take, man. You can either be bitter, snobbish, and be all up yourself about shockingly small quantities of things that you've done that have had zero effect. Or you can be happy, you can be vibrant, you can be creative and problem solve so that you can create a difference out of nothing, right? You just use what's there in front of you. All of this stuff's out there. You want to start making documentaries? You want to start making YouTube videos? Hey, you start looking for protests. You start looking for those people who have the megaphones and the microphones. You go up and you start asking them questions, because they'll give you questions and answers that'll blow your fracking mind, man. This is what I discovered. It's like, oh my God. It's like so different from watching mainstream media. Mainstream media is like a small snippet, one sentence of this person. But then when you're talking to them, they provide context to that statement that you heard on the news. They provide examples reinforcing it. They provide evidence to contradict what the government's main line is. They go into extraordinary detail and can speak at length with no censorship. I was like, wow, that is the future of reporting. No, seriously, hear me out here. okay? I would far prefer hearing directly from an activist who does shockingly large quantities of research than I would from some douchebag reporter summing up the story in so many words with a soundbite or two. And what I want to do, and this is the guerrilla media idea, is give those resources to these activists so that they can literally become the reporters, to assume their roles online and in the street. You know? I mean, mate, if somebody walks up to you with a microphone and a camera and they're wearing a suit and they say, I'm a reporter, you treat them differently. You open up to them a little more. So this will allow the activists to infiltrate and start interviewing all of those really big, heavy, you know, honcho people at a protest. We'll be right back, folks.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's on American Freedom Radio. Hey, do you know what you call a Jamaican theme tanning salon? Montana.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a terrible joke. I'm sorry about that one. That's all right. You know, gonna have a few crappy puns here and there, you know. It keeps life spicy. Interesting. Much like Jamaican chicken and pineapple. Anyway. Anyway. Going on from my previous thread about gratitude. Hey, it occurred to me that practically my entire life has been left utterly gratitudeless. I take people for granted. No, really, seriously. I have this kind of like sense of entitlement. I mean, the fact that I do heaps of good stuff and kind of, you know, have an actual entitlement or something is actually just more the fact that I have a sense of entitlement anyway, and so I try to justify my sense of entitlement by doing good things. You know, I'm just playing mind games with myself. And but yeah. Actually, at the end of the day, I think that kind of like really stupid mind game that I've held on my place is much like those romantic comedy movies where a guy's set in to sabotage a girl and then he has to lie in order to get in with her, and then he winds up breaking her heart, but then he realizes that he actually loves her and what have you, and they forgive him and then they get on with it. I just kind of like went in bold face into this movement and just said, you know, frack it, I'm going to be me, I'm just going to tell the truth. And if people don't like it, they're probably some kind of psychotic stalker. I mean, I'm not talking like I don't take criticism or anything. If you don't take criticism, sweet mother of mercy, goodness knows what kind of a monster you'll turn into. And so, you know, I've been told many, many times by people much older and wiser than I that I don't listen. I don't listen. And it was actually a profound realization to me, is that it's kind of like in Fight Club, talk radio is much similar to this, with the relationship between a host and a guest a lot of the time. People aren't talking, they're just waiting for their turn to speak. And this was quite a profound realization to me, because I realized that it wasn't just in talk radio that I wasn't listening to people. It was also in my real life. With everybody. Everybody. Wasn't listening to my missus. Wasn't listening to my friends. Wasn't listening to anybody. And I was like, why am I switching off? Why am I choosing not to listen to people? And then I had a couple of conversations with somebody that were really interesting, and I was listening to them right straightforward. And then it hit me. I only really listen if it's really interesting. If people are blathering, going off on the side or something, or repeating themselves and what have you, I just lose interest. You know? I'm obsessed, compelled against my will, to only have good and interesting conversations that I want to listen to. You know, maybe that's some kind of a disability in this day and age where people don't talk about anything of value.
Ever.
And if somebody brings it up, hey, you could criticise them and tell them to sweep it under the rug quickly as frickin' possible. How do I sweep the elephant in the room under the rug? The answer is you can't. I suppose you can. And this is what my friend John Eisen told me, actually. I do listen to him because he's very interesting. You can consistently suppress the truth. You can suppress the truth forever. And ironically, I think that that's very true. There's a whole bunch of things that I've learned about, haven't actually learned, that I don't think will ever become mainstream. At least not in my lifetime. And I think that there's so many things more to learn that will, again, never become mainstream. They never enter into the main flow of consciousness. Most people aren't thinking this way. Right, and it occurs also about generalizations. And here's a generalization to illustrate generalizations. It's called circular reasoning. Everybody makes generalizations. Huh? How do you like that one? It's true, isn't it? Everybody tries to generalize. Or we're trying to put everything in little boxes. Something that's comfortable for your understanding. Heavens forbid that somebody would actually come up with a fact, an actual piece of data, that says incontrovertibly that your view is the truth or your view is a lie. Heaven forbid. Because you're just addicted to your own perception. I'll tell you what, man. You want to buzz your perception right out, try interviewing a few of these people. You know, activists, researchers, authors, filmmakers, musicians, actors, you know, the whole lot, you know. Start talking to people from all different walks of life that all have something remarkably interesting to say. I can assure you, you'll get addicted to it, as I have. And I think maybe that's the reason why I don't listen to some people entirely, perhaps. And maybe that's a bit selfish of me, but at the same time, I justify it by having the fact that they're being listened to by you, the listeners. I mean, I bring on everybody on this show. Regardless of whether or not I totally enjoy their company. And I give them compliments and make them laugh. And you, the listener, get to enjoy the conversation. I think it actually becomes irrelevant in terms of talk radio, whether or not I'm listening to people. The problem I really have with me not listening is the fact that it's in my personal life as well. So it doesn't just affect me or you, the listeners, it affects everybody that I come into contact with. I mean, can you imagine? Alright. If I had not caught myself doing this and had continued not listening to people for another 10 years and didn't take a like radical look at what I'm doing, you know? Mate! I've dodged a bullet here. My sweet mother of mercy. Imagine you just woke up one day and somebody told you don't listen to people. And then imagine like three people actually say it to you. And then you start catching yourself doing it. And then you're like, holy cow, I'm really not listening to people. This is a problem. All right. And that's the phase that I'm going through right now. It's like, holy sweet, my heavens to Murgatroyd. Oh, no. It's not good. Now, conveniently, as I said, despite the fact that maybe these last couple of years I haven't been totally listening, It's still been good talk radio, and you, and
I mean, me listening to the shows, it appears like I was kind of listening and that kind of thing. Maybe I'm just doing a little bit too much introspection here live on the radio here for a moment. Let's change the subject. All right. Let's talk about truth again. You know, what people tell you is that diet products are more healthy for you. Oh, yeah, yeah. All right, what's the logic here? Oh, well, it reduces the fat and does what to it? Well, it increases the sweetness by using artificial sweeteners and everything like that. Doesn't that stuff cause cancer, mass tumors on rats or something like that? Or start causing Alzheimer's or Parkinson's disease or what have you, like Michael J. Fox got after his Pepsi sponsorship, like after he did, like... Back to the Future or something? Well, is that what's healthy these days? Hey,
is that what's healthy?
Again, disinformation. It's everywhere. Everywhere you look. It's actually quite... I think this is why a lot of truth has become shut-ins. I think maybe I've become a bit of a shut-in. It's because when you walk outside your door... Suddenly, scumbaggery is everywhere. And the thing is, you get comfortable with the scumbaggery just within your own little space and what have you, because you can deal with that, you know. It's small, it's localized, you know. It's only a little bit of scumbaggery. But, start walking out your door, and you see scumbaggery everywhere you look. Every logo, every Thai food restaurant menu that disqualifies you. I don't know where I was going with it. I'm kind of feeling a bit exhausted, I'm sorry. Train of thought thing. Not working too well these days. Yeah, maybe people are right when they tell me I should be getting more sleep. You know? How important is sleep, man? Well, honestly, it's very, very drastically important is how much. I think there was a documentary... I think it was done on Australian workers, like night shifts and what have you. And you know how statistics are used to illustrate things. Even if the statistic's not true, it still sounds very interesting. And so I'm going to make up a statistic. It was something along the lines of like a very high percentage of lost productivity because of people's sleep deprivation. You know, doing shift work or... getting up early, not going to bed early enough the night before. This kind of thing. And the amount of extra time that it takes you to move, just physically, if you haven't rested well. The amount of time it takes you to think. All of these little micro delays that happen to you when you're pretty exhausted can actually add up to quite a lot of lost productivity. And ironically, it's because we're catching up on other lost productivity. It's a vicious cycle. And I think basically I'm going to have to start getting real with the fact that I've got to go to bed early. You know, I can't stay up late editing stuff ridiculously anymore, maybe. I don't know. I'm just kind of doing a very introspective show today. Sorry about that. I guess it's kind of like when people donate to me, I sort of have this sort of obligation to be as honest as humanly possible with you. You know, to know that I'm just an ordinary dude and I've got real strange and fanciful problems. That and everybody's got real interesting little problems of their own, you know? Psychologically, spiritually... whatever. We're all dealing with our baggage, aren't we? And so I kind of feel the need to open up. You opened up your wallets, I'll open up my heart. You know, because, hey, I think... I can't give you anything else, really. nothing more that's really valuable other than insight as to who I actually am. Who I really am as a person. And I find that this is something that needs to be adopted more by radio show hosts. They need to... be as real as humanly possible. That's it. I'm just trying to be real with y'all.
have some fun while we're at it, you know? I'm sick and tired of listening to mainstream talk radio in New Zealand where these people are just interrupting their guests. You know, they got somebody like Mary Byrne, who's a fluoride activist or whatever, on, just interrupts, tinfoil hat wearer. This is just disgusting. Disgusting, because they're just fake people manning those microphones, bro. There's nothing behind the voice. They're just automaton hatchet men designed to destroy everything that is good, everything that is the truth. Just paid mouthpieces of a deceptive criminal cabal. A little propaganda arm, like the public relations face of the Coca-Cola Corporation, saying, no, we don't sell level 6 bioweapons to people and then ask them to just water it down with municipal fluoridated, chlorinated, Giardia incorporated water. No, we don't do that at all. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you go anywhere. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live somewhere over the rainbow. Okay, and in fact, you would have to be somewhere over the rainbow in order to hear this live right now. In fact, the only two people that are listening to this conversation right now is me and the board op. There is nobody else listening. This is like a pre-recorded nightmare. All right, now... on with the lies. Annual mammograms will prevent breast cancer. Really? Really? Bathing sensitive breast tissue in radiation somehow prevents cancer? No. What it does is early detection, ladies and gentlemen. Why does it do early detection? Because they scan you once, you get cancer, and then they scan you again 6 months later to see the nice cancer that they've grown for you, and then they chop off your boob. It's pretty cut and dry. Maybe that was a bad reference to make, but yeah. Look, for goodness sake, remember Angelina Jolie, you know, little... actress that she is, chopping them both off, you know, two of these most amazing things that have ever, oh my god, just thinking about them. I'm just kidding, I'm not that much of a chauvinist, pretty close, but anyway, she has them both cut off to prevent herself from being able to get breast cancer. Why don't you just not get mammograms and maybe eat some leafy green vegetables, woman? I mean, come on, you've got the money, you know. And what, adopting like half the known world isn't good enough for you? You know, you need to prevent yourself from getting boob cancer. And you get it's incredible. Okay, it's just a mind control program to get people to say, oh, well, if Angelina did it, I'll do it. Look, if people started cutting off their ears so that they didn't have to listen to the new Justin Bieber album, I'd think about it, but I wouldn't do it, all right? You know, it's just out of control, all right? I mean, think about when you're a kid. What are you supposed to stay away from? What are you supposed to stay away from? Electrical sockets, sharp objects, hot objects. Right? And poisons under the sink, what have you. And what do they give you if you go anywhere near a doctor of any kind? They cut you up with sharp objects, insert poisons down your throat, and expose you to heat and electrical equipment. Huh. Are you saying that all of the things that we're taught as children to stay the frack away from are the things that the medical doctors are saying is good for us, even though they're like the leading cause of death? I mean, the doctors, not the electrical sockets, because people know that an electrical socket is dangerous. They don't know that a doctor is dangerous. Do they? Think about this. The person that you trust to take care of your health is actually the person who's most likely to kill you than any other factor. It's because of that trust that you place that they're able to kill you without you even knowing about it. give you all those very comforting words and bedside manner while they slip the knife in your ribs in the dark. Another example, they said vaccines will protect you. And most vaccines contain thimerosal, mercury, that will kill you. Not just that, I'm not sure if thimerosal will just like straight up kill you. It is one of the most potent neurotoxins known to man, if not the most potent, mercury is. So, there's live, unattenuated virus, aborted fetal cells, and this is the most disgusting thing that I've found out about vaccines. I mean, like, you know when women get abortions and stuff, and you got a little baby, a little baby that's been forming inside there and what have you. They cut it open, and they harvest those little organs, and they grow viruses and bacteria on them and that kind of thing, and then they squelch out a few of those little cells of virus that they grew off the dead fetus's organs. And then they shoot it directly into your bloodstream. Holy cow. We're dealing with some incredibly sick motherfrackers here. Really? The worst of the worst. Horror movies ain't got nothing on these people. Just think about the kind of future they're planning for us, for all of us. Survival will be the worst of your worries. You won't want to survive if you do. I just don't want that kind of stuff to happen. I mean, just a person who could do that kind of thing with vaccines and then lie to everybody and get them to manufacture like huge quantities of chronic diseases and what have you, so they can keep going back to their butcher or murderer doctor the rest of their life and drain their bank accounts and eventually develop cancer because of the drugs that they gave you, and then give you chemotherapy to kill 97% of you that aren't stupid enough to actually still believe that the doctor's trying to save you. All the time, he's been leeching off you like a parasite, fostering the disease, keeping it alive, so that he can keep you alive with his drugs and his vaccines and all of these other things. I really, really, really just kind of, it sickens me to think about the medical industry. Ironic, isn't it? You know? And finally, on this list of lies here, fluoride will protect your teeth. Fluoride is a poison and it will give you cancer and kill you and cause dental fluorosis. Right? It's not just a poison. It's like an acid. Right? It's some of the most toxic substance known to man. It's unconscionable to put it. It's used as chemical weapons, okay? Right, so if I were to tell you, here's a chemical weapon. What is it? A sarin gas. Why do you want me to take a sarin gas capsule? It'll help prevent gum disease. Really? Sarin gas prevents gum disease? Yep. Oh, okay. Are you an authority? Have you got a white lab coat and what have you? And are backed by many corrupt government agencies that give you a shockingly large amount of money to give me this information that you're selling me right here? The sarin gas is good for my gums? Yep. All right, it must be true then. Where's my freaking capsule? No, seriously, this is a reasoning process. It's unbelievable. Just these massive propaganda campaigns, deductive logic. You know, I don't like people who have a deductive rule thinking process, you know, because normally they're wrong about 99% of things that are just like far outside of their meager understanding of the world. And so that's the reason why they use deductive reasoning, because their reasoning has been deducted from them. Not to say that there's not a place for it. You know, when somebody's saying something that's completely untrue or what have you, you know, sure. But often cases, there'll be lots of information to explain things, like fluoride and what have you, and then they just use deductive reasoning, oh, the government would never do that. Really, bro? Really? They did kill more people in the 20th century than any other factor? Yes, they frickin' would. They would use chemical weapons on you. They would spray sarin gas in the New York subway in order to see how it would spread. Okay, they did nuclear test on their own frickin' troops. They tested on New Zealand troops, British troops, Americans, the whole lot. You are as big an enemy as any overseas adversary that you could ever frickin' conceive of. Your state hates you and wants to kill you and at the very least wants to use you for livestock trading as cattle for which they can survive off the sweat of our brow. That's the state. We'll see you again sometime, folks, at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. I hope you've enjoyed this little broadcast here, because I've enjoyed bringing it to you very, very much. And by all means, it's going to be Christmas, then my birthday, then New Year's, and we're getting a new computer in here, and all new equipment and that kind of thing. So we're going to have a brand new, revamped, revitalized Vinnie Eastwood show. And most likely, at the same time, coincidentally enough, a brand new, revamped, and well-working and greased engine at AmericanFreedomRadio.com as well, which should be having its website and live streams available to you 24 hours a day. And if I'm not mistaken, we'll have some good fun doing it too. Thank you very much.